the Philippines. And that's in part because you have been so generous and giving in so many different ways. Just a team went over there, just paid their way and giving the medical equipment. And you guys raised a lot of money to support and launch this ministry. And it's that giving heart of the Lord that you're expressing, and that's making a difference over in the Philippines. So just with thanksgiving, let's give this offering to the Lord. Jesus, thank you for you inviting us to the big story of changing lives, and not only here in Duval and in the Northwest, but around the globe. And you invited us to take part in that. And so we give you thanks. And imagine all the just what we give back to you, you are using to make a difference in the world. And so we give you thanks for that opportunity. And so use this offering to further your kingdom, further your life, not only here locally, but around the globe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things I want you to know. Today and then next Sunday, there is a membership class or newcomers class that's starting at during the third service at 11:30 next door. So if you're interested in joining us at Adventure, or just want to find more about who we are and what we believe and what we're doing, would you join us at 11:30 today and as well as next Sunday? That's new members class, and that's right there. And in 3 weeks, Mother's Day is coming, and we have a special treat for all the mothers. So invite your own mothers, your neighbor's mothers, or your mother-in-law, anybody who is a mother, invite. We're going to turn this place into like a special, I don't know what you call it, concert hall, but a little bit more decorated. In fact, we're going to put tables and chairs. So on the 13th, when you come, it doesn't look like church service, but it's going to be beautiful. And we would like to bless mothers. And so that's on the 13th. We have still three services, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. But it will be a special treat with Amy Shree. Some of you know, have heard her. She's a fantastic musician. She's going to be here with us. So with that, we would like to ask Judy could come to Wes to come up front to share with us about Fruit Bearers. Fruit Bearers ministry started just a little over a year ago from here. Wes was one of the leaders at Adventure, and it took off. It's an amazing ministry like that.
Thanks, Jonathan. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Fruit Bearers. As my wife would tell you, it's hard for me to talk about anything other than Fruit Bearers. And so to be up here this morning and give you a report is a real privilege for me. We have some new people in the church, and so I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then give you an update on what's happening. As Jonathan said, Fruit Bearers started right from this church. Actually, it's almost 2 years ago now, not quite. But the Lord has done some amazing things, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of it. Where does the name Fruit Bearers come from? It comes from John 15:8, which says, "When you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father, and you prove to be my disciples." And that's what we want to do. We want to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, not to ourselves, not to the church, but to our Heavenly Father. And that's what we aim to do. And just to give you a little bit of an idea of where it is we work and so on, this is, of course, a map of the Philippines. And the island where we work is right here. That's Negros. And it's about the fourth largest island in the Philippines out of 7,107 islands. And the dark red part of it there is called Negros Oriental, and that's where we do all of our work. I just want to point to a little island over here, Bohol. There's a young couple from our church that are honeymooning on Bohol as we speak. Karina Borland and her new husband, Dan, and they're on Bohol, and next week they are going over to Negros to work with our staff for a week. And so what a great way to spend a honeymoon, huh? Serving the Lord with one another. And so that's kind of cool. And this is Negros Oriental close-up, and you can see that it's made up into two parts, Occidental and Oriental. Occidental means west, Oriental means east. And Art, pay attention, there's going to be a quiz afterwards on this. So we do all of our work in Oriental. And the Lord gave us the commission to go into, what am I doing here? To go into the hills and the mountains and the far-flung places of Negros Oriental and find children who have special needs and show them His love. And that's what we do. And that's some of the mountains that separate the east from the west in Negros Oriental. And the highest mountain goes up over 8,000 feet, so they're pretty significant. And we go up into those mountains, and we find children who are deaf or blind or maybe have a cleft palate and cleft lip, maybe who need heart surgery, many different things as far as medical concerns. And we help them. We bring them help, thanks to the Lord and thanks to some of the resources that He has given us, resources from this church. People who support and sponsor a child on a monthly basis, or people who give for a special medical need. And that way we bring the love to these kids from the Lord. And there's nobody else doing it. Up in these mountains, these hills, there is nobody else looking for them and bringing this to them. And so it's a tremendous privilege for us to be the ones that the Lord has sent there. Just a couple of the stories of kids. I think I've introduced Melvin to you before. Melvin is deaf and has club feet, but he is a little boy who is just full of life over there. And Melvin, we've got some good news on Melvin that I wanted to announce today. About 5 days ago, we were able to get Melvin to an orthopedic surgeon, and he had his club feet operated on. And it is so exciting. The first thing Melvin wanted to do when he came out of the anesthetic was to sit up in bed and look at his feet and see if they were straight, so he would know if he was going to be able to run and ride a bike. And the good news is his feet were straight when he woke up from the anesthetic. And so he's thrilled about that. This little girl I've talked to you about before. Her name is Jenna Seal. Jenna Seal was burned badly when she was 4 years old in a kerosene fire at home. You can see her before, up on the left there, before she had any surgery. Then when she, here she is after she had had one surgery, and as you can see, she's able to close her mouth and straighten her arm a little bit and so on. What happens to kids like that who have bad burns is they develop, of course, terrible scar tissue. And if it's a child, the child continues to grow, but the scar tissue doesn't grow. And so basically, as they grow, it pulls them apart. And so that's what was happening to Jenna Seal. And even after her first surgery, she continued to grow, and it started to pull her apart again. But the great thing is, Jenna Seal and her mother are now up in Manila at one of the best hospitals in the big city of Manila, where Jenna Seal is getting surgery and therapy and is going to get the help that she needs. And the hospital is doing it for free. The doctors are doing their work for free. We found a place for her and her mother to stay for free. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful situation for them. The tough part is they have to be separated from their family. Mother and Jenna Seal have to be separated from the family until about Christmas. They have to stay up in Manila for that length of time. And that's a really tough thing for the overall family. Fortunately, the father and the rest of the family, they live near the grandmother, and so she can help take care of the other kids. And that shows their house in the background. Actually, that house pretty much fell down during an earthquake. And so because Geneseal has a sponsor, the sponsor knew about that and gave some extra money, and we've been able to help them build a new house on a different site near the grandmother, and so they've got a better house now as well. So that's also good news for them. This is a little girl where the blue arrow points. Her name is Faya. I've talked about her before. She came to a vacation Bible school along with about 45 other kids about a year ago over in Geneseal's neighborhood. And we noticed that Faya couldn't participate because she couldn't hear what was going on. And so we got Faya to a doctor. And the doctor said, yes, she's got bad ear infections. And he cleaned them out and he gave her antibiotics that we purchased because the family couldn't afford them. And while we were there, I asked him, well, is she going to be able to hear? And he said, well, I'm not sure. You're going to have her tested later on, but you can't have her tested here in Dumaguete, the big city that serves 300,000 people, because there's no hearing clinic in Dumaguete. And I said, oh. I said, wow, that's interesting. I said, I happen to know a guy back in Duval, goes to my church, that sells hearing clinic equipment. And so when I got back here, I had a lunch with Brian Hillebush. A lot of you know this story. Brian said, I'm going to give a whole hearing clinic, all the stuff, go over there at my own expense and supervise installation. And so that's what we did. And so because of that little girl, Faya, now there is a hearing clinic in the best hospital in Dumaguete, and I would say it's probably the best hearing clinic in all of the Philippines because it's got all the latest equipment. It's all checked out. It's really cool. And so we took a team over there about 6-7 weeks ago, and we just had a great time putting that hearing clinic together. It was about 4,000 pounds of all came over in a couple of crates. This is the guys taking the crates apart. Here they are assembling the soundproof booth. The hospital had made a brand new room available to us, perfect room, and a new section of the hospital. And so we put it together up in that room, and here's Brian, the boss. He knows this stuff. He's the one supervised every bit of the installation and told us where everything goes and so on. And it was just such a great team of guys. We just had so much fun. Put it all together and checked all the equipment out, tested it. The Lord has provided us with two audiologists over there. I can't tell you how unusual that is. Almost every time an audiologist is trained in the Philippines, they leave. They go to another country. They come to the U.S. There are almost no audiologists in the Philippines because there's nowhere for them to work. And so, but we have two. One is a missionary from Canada who really knows this stuff, and the other is the doctor's sister, the ear, nose, and throat doctor who checked out Faya, his sister. And she is an audiologist. And so we have two at our clinic, and the Lord just provided those, and it's just amazing. This is the team. I'm going to ask Roger to come up. Marco, Roger, Jeff, and Eric, the two guys in the middle, are two guys that go to our sister church over in Salton, the Crosswater Church, and then Brian and myself. And Roger's going to talk a little bit about some of his impressions.
Morning. You never know what the Lord is going to do. When Brian announced in church here that this audiology mission was being put together, just my heart instantly ignited. I just knew that this was something for me. And I wasn't sure how I was going to get myself there or how I was going to pay for it all. And I was on a trip in Southern California around Christmas and was just telling some friends and my daughter and her husband about it. And they said, well, you have to let us support you. And the Lord just put together most of the expenses I need to get over there. And on the way, I was asking the Lord, what do you have for me? What is it? I mean, I know we've got this audiology booth to put together. But, Lord, I think there's something else that you have for me. And I was just making myself available. And one thing he had for me was a lot of fun. This was a great group of guys, just didn't really know them, hadn't really met two of them till right before the trip, hadn't worked with any of the body, with any of them. But we just had tremendous fun and harmony. So that's always cool on the mission field. But the other thing the Lord's kind of stirred up in me was a desire to be back in ministry. Some of you know that I had a less than wonderful ending to a pastoral ministry season in Juneau and haven't been real interested in ministry for a long time. And this and a couple other things recently have just stirred up a passion and a desire that hasn't been there for a long time. The Lord just gave me that new focus because it was a focus on Him. I was just there. I just surrendered. The Lord filled my heart with love for Him, with the desire to be doing exactly what He wanted for me. Saw Him at work. I just felt so free and so alive. Very cool. And He also gave me just a love for the Filipino people. Wes only let me have one picture, but the Filipino people were so gracious and so welcoming and so appreciative. They love Americans, which is, you know, kind of rare. The Lord Christians are welcome in the public schools. Can you imagine that? But the people were so loving and gracious that we couldn't stop them from helping us putting that audiology room together. One little example, we went to a small town north of Dumaguete. There was the class there where Melvin attends and some of the other kids that Fruit Bearers donors sponsor. And the parent, they knew we were coming, and the parents prepared a whole table full of food for us. And this was simple stuff. These were not wealthy people, but they were there to give generously. Unfortunately, we had just stuffed ourselves at breakfast, and so we had to endure a second breakfast. But I just fell in love with the Filipino people, and I want to go back. And so I'm asking the Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me? And the root of all this is the Lord just establishing just a foundation in Wes and Judy's heart to go put this together. And the Lord is just sending out new shoots and new growth and new fruit.
Thank you, Roger. Marco couldn't be here in the second service, or the first service. He's going to be here in the next two services to share a little bit of his impressions, too. I just want to tell you that Marco, most of you know him, he asked the Lord before he went what he should do, too. And the Lord gave him a special message. He said, I want you to take some clothes over there, some boys' clothing, and I'll show you who to give it to when you're there. And so he did. He packed some clothing in his suitcase and brought it over. This was the day we went up, after we had installed the booth, we went way up in the mountains to this Mabini, is a community where we do a lot of work. We were at the high school, and this was a deaf classroom. All those kids are deaf. And Marco was told by the Lord, there he is, that's the boy. He went out to the car, got the clothing and brought it in, and the clothing fit the boy. And Marco asked the teacher to come over and interpret, and Marco told the boy through the interpreter the whole story, and Marco was just standing there with tears running down his face, and the boy was standing there with tears running down his face, and it was really touching. And so that was just a very special thing that happened there as well. I got to tell one more quick story. Brian opted not to come up and speak, but I got to tell this little story. This little girl, by the name of Princess, her mother brought her to us when we were up in Mabini. People are now hearing about what we do, and instead of, we don't all the time go out and find the kids. Sometimes they now come to us. And they knew we were going to be there somehow. This mother brought this little girl, Princess, to us. Princess was born with legs that only come down to here. Her hands are kind of like claws, but there's nothing wrong with her mind. She is the cutest, brightest, happiest, for the most part, little girl. And Brian fell in love with that little girl. And the mother put her on his lap and kind of scared her. She had never seen, maybe she had never seen a white man, certainly not one that big. And so she was a little bit concerned there. But anyway, Brian adopted her at that point, and we're having shoes made. She can run around on those little stub legs of hers like you can't believe. He's having special shoes made for her, a special stroller made for her mother. And I have an idea that in the future that little girl is going to have pretty much whatever she needs or wants from Papa Ryan, Brian. These are our chaplains, Roberto and Juanita. It's because of their work, their follow-up work with the families, that a church is developing. This is not something that we anticipated in the beginning, but a church is developing in the Philippines. 30 new believers in the past 9 months have been baptized as a result of their work following up with the families and the friends and other people that have come. And it's just amazing. There are three people on a waiting list right now to be baptized. And it just goes on and on. Every week I hear more about what's happening over there as the good news of Jesus spreads. Here's the church that's starting. We got to attend it the first day that we arrived there. And there were so many of us that we had to go to a different place than we usually meet. We went to a bar, and a bar that wasn't being used on Sunday morning. And so, Jeff, we had church in a bar, and there we are. Pastor Roberto leading the service and our guys up front. And we just had a great time of fellowship and worship with the people. And it continues to grow. We're now looking for a larger place to meet. We hope that someday there might be a church an actual building. We do have Adventure Church Philippines. The pastor, that was his idea. He said, can we call it Adventure Church Philippines? And I said, sounds great to me. I'll talk to Randy about it. And Randy thought it was a good idea, too. We're going to talk about that a little more. But a little later. But anyway, that's the church that is developing. And our chaplains go to other places way up in the mountains, and they have Bible studies with other people as well. That's my update. If you want to get involved with Fruit Bears, right now we have 15 kids who are waiting for sponsors. A sponsorship is $35 a month. We have several people in the audience here who do sponsor kids. We've got one person in the church that sponsors three kids, so we don't limit to just one. And it's $35 a month. It assures that the child can stay in school, and usually there's enough of money left over from that that the family can benefit from it as well. Our sponsorship is a little bit different in that the money goes to the family. Most sponsorship organizations don't give the money to the family. It might indirectly benefit the family because they put a new water system in the village or something, but it doesn't go directly to the family. Ours does. Goes directly to the family, and so it helps them with food and with the child going to school and so on. We have 15 kids right now who are waiting for sponsors, and so if anybody here would like to read about one of these kids or the others, Judy and I will be at a table in the back after the service, and we can give you a sponsorship form to read and potentially fill out, and if you'd like to get started. Okay. Hey, Randy. Thank you.
Using a mic, but I think it's kind of cool. You know, it feels a little more like a rock star thing. So, you know, the deaf hear, the lame walk. 30 plus come to Christ this last year. A church is born. What's worth giving your time to? What's worth giving your resources to? Now, some would say, some would describe Wes as a janitor on a do-good season of his life. A Duval janitor who, you know, got a bug to do some good in some other place in the world. Others would describe him as the hand of God Almighty, an agent of the living God, bringing life and restoration. That's his true identity. His secret identity is a janitor in Duval. Wes is a wonderful example of our vision. Ezekiel 37, restore, fill, deploy what God has called us to do. As a person who went through, is going through a process of restoration, you know, the Lord healing him from wounds and agreements that he's made that have held him back from really standing up to his full height for years. And then he went through a process of restoration, and then a year ago, a little over a year ago, after Fruit Bearers was kind of getting going, stuttering, I would describe your experience as being filled with the Holy Spirit. On that drive from Montana, you came back from that drive after encountering God like a fuse had been lit, and it has not, the flare burning has not gone down a bit in it over a year. I mean, it's just brighter and brighter, and that's He has become this filled with the Spirit and then deployed. right? Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from him. I mean, that the example that we just had this morning with Wes and fruit bearers and what's going on there, that's what Jesus meant. Streams of living water flow. God's mission and our mission is to restore people's hearts, to fill them with His Spirit, deploy them across the street around the world for His kingdom. And right now, many of you know, there's a team of ladies that flew out yesterday. They're going to Albania. They're probably arrived by now. Have they gotten there yet, do you think? It's a long flight. they probably made it, or they're landing in Tirana right now, if they didn't have too many layovers. But, you know, their mission is to bring these women's hearts in Albania fully alive. Their mission is to bring life to the full to women in Albania whose hearts have been ravaged by life. What do I mean by life to the full? How do you define? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. What did he mean? What's life to the full? To your full potential. Good. What else? You're living your desire out of your heart. You have a fat bank account. Right? I mean, some would define life to the full as that. Not. Right? Read the book of Acts. They were those disciples were life to the full, but fat bank account wasn't necessarily the description, right? Yeah, I was thinking about this. I thought, how would I define life to the full? And this is just kind of through the lens of Adventure's mission, is people who have life to the full, they've heard from God who they really are, and they walk with God in their true identity. And ask yourself if that applies to you. Is that have you gotten there yet? They know what they've got to offer and how to offer it. They know how to stand against the enemy and walk in victory. They know how to hear God and take their marching orders from God. And they know how to love well, and they do. If you were living those five things, would you call that life to the full? I would. That's what we're seeing. That's fruit bearers, these women who are going to do captivating. This also is a good description of the journey that God offers you to take, the journey to walk with Him and find Him in new ways. It's the journey Adventure offers. It's our mission, and to help people get back their hearts, be filled with the Spirit of God, and be deployed in their calling. And that mission is going on abroad, and it's going on right here. This building, every night, is booked. When we have staff meeting, and BJ and I, or Jeff and I, are brainstorming about, hey, there's this new ministry we could start, and it'd be really cool. Patty, our secretary, looks at us with that look, which says, and then she says something like, if you think you're going to book that really good ministry idea in our church somewhere, then it's going to have to happen after midnight. I mean, it is booked. This place is maxed out. Every night of the week, there's something booked during the day. There is ministry going on here constantly. Last weekend, we had a men's retreat. Roger spoke, Jerry, Mark Roddy. It was phenomenal. And I've spoken with about five guys that have gone to that retreat, and all of them describe their experience as though it's like God's pressed a reset button in my soul. And my encounter with God was just like completely resetting and reorienting me back to mission with Him and identity in Him. And so I was like, I was there I had a wedding back here, Dan and Karina's wedding. So I had to come back and do that and speak. But I got to be there half the time. And I'll just share with you just the conversation I had with the Lord that was kind of the reset button for me. I was Roger spoke, and then Mark Roddy spoke, and they both spoke about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and afterwards they gave us this time of soaking, just listening to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And he said, I want you to walk with me. Tell me more. And he said this, I love you, Randy. I love your friendship. Your friendship matters to me a great deal. And sometimes I hear that stuff from the Lord and I kind of go, really? You know, you care about friendship with me? And he said, I love being with you. He said, can we be friends, Randy? I said, how, Lord? Sharing fears, loves, joys, let me be your close friend. Can you imagine God saying that to you? I mean, yes, you can, all right? It's not that hard. But, I don't know, it just blew me away. I was like, really? I mean, he said things like that to me before. But, really? You know? And then Mark Roddy talked about, you know, he talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And then and I was like, Lord, all right, do I have dirty feet? Do I need, you know, do I need you to wash my feet? And he's, yes. Okay, what? You know, well, the way you've been relating to Debbie isn't okay. I need you to love her more passionately with more tenderness, so repenting. So anyway, awesome reset at the men's retreat. Just a few weeks before that, the women's retreat. Any of you gals go to that women's retreat? I heard amazing things. Record attendance. You laughed. You cried. You soaked in the presence of God and encountered the Lord speaking to your hearts. The high school group, when you're driving in, you see a bunch of high schoolers. They just got back from what's called Threshold Retreat. And it's called Threshold because they are offered a rite of passage encounter with the Lord to initiate them into their mission and life calling. About 90 of them were at that retreat. and then last Sunday night, Zulu kicked off our new ministry for young adults, and it was amazing. The Lord's presence was there, and it's about finding your calling and your identity in Christ. And I was talking to Cindy last week about children's, and she was sharing with me that in children's ministry, things have changed. She said, you know, it's no longer like filling spots for childcare anymore. She was saying that God has raised up a group of leaders who are passionate about children's hearts and who really want to be there. And she said the teaching is now like so far beyond what you could pull off of a curriculum shelf at a bookstore. She said it's just like they're writing their own curriculum. It's along the lines of our vision. I mean, she said the team's like a dream team. And if you've noticed, there's not been for the last 2 years a Cindy up here saying, would you please serve in children's? Right? I mean, it's like, thank you, Lord. Now, you may get that asked, but she was telling me there's so much more we can do, but she's like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to filling spots. She said, your kids right now, she was talking about my daughter, Lucy, she says she's getting teaching and leadership with people who are fired up and passionate to fight for her heart. She's like, I don't want a spot fill. She said, the quality is so high, I don't want to lose that. And so, but they want to expand, they want to grow, there's more kids coming. And so if you want to be a part of an awesome team and you care about kids, there's a place for you in that. But there's so much going on. Fruit Bearers, like Wes said, has asked us to Mother Church Adventure Philippines. And so we're praying about that in the lead team. Do you know what mother churching is? They're like Adventure planted from Cascade Community Church, and they were our mother church. So for about 3 years, they advised us. They didn't meddle, but they advised us. They supported us. They supported my salary. For those first 3 years, Cascade was there for us constantly. And donated a bunch of equipment, things like that. Should we do that for Adventure Philippines? Teams could go and canvas neighborhoods and invite them to meetings at church during the week, and more people come to Christ. There's so many different ways that we can move the kingdom forward. So I wanted to kind of give you guys an update. What's going on at Adventure? And I also want to tell you about what's coming in the future. Okay? The lead team last fall invited a consulting firm to look at Adventure Church. And these guys are amazing. They're phenomenal guys. Super hearts. But what they do is they go to churches and they evaluate the churches based on vision. How are they achieving their vision, structure, finances, all that. And these guys dove into Adventure and they dug. And they looked at everything. And the question, the reason why we had them doing that was because we felt like we needed another set of eyes outside telling us, are we ready to move forward with a larger venue, doing a major campaign to raise $1 million to build a building? Are we at a place in our history to actually start thinking about that? And these guys, that's what they do. And they had wonderful feedback. They got more surveys. Remember the surveys you guys did online? They said they got more surveys from Adventure Church than like any of the other churches that they've ever done. So, well done. Well done. Jerry got up here and said, let's beat the curve, you know, and then you guys responded. So anyway, they were blown away. They loved what they're seeing, and they said, we're amazed at what God's doing here. We love your vision. The transformation that we're seeing in people deploying, they actually asked us to speak or be a part of a panel for pastors that they're advising to talk, who are stuck. They can't get their people to move and do any kind of mission. And they asked us, would you like help them know, like, what are you doing to make, how is all this happening? So they're asking that, and very excited about what God's doing that way. But as far as like building a building and finding a larger venue, the feedback they gave us was that's C. And you have A and you have B still to do. And so here's their feedback about what's next. They said you definitely need to address your space issues. The building is a huge deterrent to growth and what God could do through this. What the kind of caliber of leadership and things you've got going on, it's a major deterrent. They said, but before you do that, we've looked at your structure, and they pointed out that in the last 3 years, we've gone from about 8 to 10 ministries to 31 ministries at Adventure. And they said, you still have a structure that supports 8 to 10. And they said, basically, Randy, you're the go-to guy for pretty much all of those 31 ministries. Consequently, you can't support them at the level of support they need. They can't get answers. They can't move forward. They're not overseen like they need to be. And so one of the things that you absolutely need to do is you have to restructure for where you're at. You're still operating like a church of 200 and you're pushing 400. And so that was one of the things. Is number one, you got to reorganize your structure. And then the second thing they said was, we need to build a much larger volunteer base and hire more personnel to handle the growth. And so they suggested that we move toward a campaign, a multi-pronged fundraising campaign to raise funds to meet our personnel needs stage one, and then once the reorganization happens, once we reorganize, increase personnel, volunteer base, then we move, then the second phase of that fundraising campaign will be to find a property or build or a larger venue. And so I want to give you a heads up. This is what the lead team is working on. This is where we're spending our time, a reorganization, so we can, so that restore, fill, and deploy can continue to move forward. And we're going to be appealing to you to step up and volunteer. We have a the statistics we got back from Edge was you're a little better than the average church. You know, the average church has about 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. You're about 20%. So 80% of us are not plugged in serving to keep this boat afloat. And we don't want to be a boat that's afloat. We want to be like a fighter jet with rockets strapped to it, okay? So we need to expand our volunteer base. If you're not plugged in, would you fill out a card and just say, plug me in? We have tons of areas where just even the first impressions team out there welcoming new people. Talk about a critical moment. You walk up to the doors of that of this church you've never been in before. You walk up and you see these wooden doors and this traditional church building and all these people who like each other. But like, are you going to feel welcome? Are you going to feel like you fit? So there's so many different places that you can plug in and make a difference in the lives of people. Because if those people don't get in, and if they don't feel comfortable, then how are they going to hear about what Christ offers them? And how are they going to get their hearts back? And how are they going to go start a ministry in the Philippines that transforms lives? So we're going to be increasing. We're going to be asking you to dive in and step up with us. And then we're going to be moving forward in a fundraising campaign. And more of that, more in the future. I'll give you more of the details are coming. I just wanted to also give you just a quick update. In December, we raised about $45,000 to refinance our mortgage. And we had a team headed by Brian Hillebush that had about 8 banks that they were talking with and for that refinance. The $45,000 was because the banks all said to Brian, if we don't bring in more in 2011 than we did in 2010, just in offerings, there's no way. If you show a dropping dollar amount, then there's no way that you could refi. So we did that. You did that. Awesome. And so what the status is, commercial loans move extremely slow. We've talked to several different banks that's still in the works. Things are still moving forward. There's hope on the horizon. We'll hopefully have some, but it probably will be in the summer until that refi is complete. And so be praying for that. It's got hoops that have to jump through and so on, more than I imagined. So that's happening. Somebody asked, well, what about the funds that we gave toward that? What's happened to those? And those funds, Adventure, since we've been going, I'd say about 80% of the time of Adventure's life, we have had 1 month of emergency fund in reserve. We've always kept at least a month savings in reserves, except in really tight times, they get depleted. And January, February, March, our first quarter, was really tight. And so some of the funds that we raised in December went to keep the lights on in January, February, March. But giving's back up, and those emergency funds are being restored. And so, but we did end up dipping into some of those. So that's where that money went. It's there. It went to emergency funds and then set aside money for closing costs for a refi. So that's what's happened with it, and wanted to let you know that. And overall, what you need to know is that Adventure is moving forward. We are getting organized. We're expanding our oversight of ministries to prepare for more. We think God is going to do more. And so I just want to invite you to pray with me for the future and for what's coming. So Let's do that. Jesus, you called this place into being. And Lord, I know that not everybody gets to see what I get to see. They don't get to see the stories. They don't get to see the new ministries launching and what's happening in them. They don't get to see what you're doing in the youth ministry. And so, Lord, days like this, Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for days that are about remembering what you're doing. And Lord, as we reorganize and we, Lord, would you help us to find the right structure and the right plan to support the ministry leaders that you have brought? And Lord, would you bring a volunteer base? Lord, would you stir hearts to say, I want to be a part of what God's doing here, even if it's welcoming a new person, even if it's making coffee in the morning? And Lord, would you bring the right, would you direct us toward what are the right positions to add? And then Lord, we lay down before you, this place is packed. Not enough room for all the things that are going on and all the things that I think you want to see happen. And so, Lord, would you direct us to the right place, land, building? Lord, thanks so much for Edge's feedback and their wisdom. Jesus, we pray that you would raise up your army here. Lord, that we would not shrink back one bit to move your kingdom forward, to give our lives, Lord, because when it comes to it, Lord, when I think about what is worth my life, what is worth my time, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to see people's lives transformed. And so, Jesus, we pray that you'd raise up an army with that heart. And Jesus, we want to call you forth to advance your kingdom, Lord, and yes to you. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great rest.